And it is a good day. A.J. Brown, a member of your New England Patriots. All they need is a physical. Hopefully that knee isn't too jacked up. You got that in my head now, Ken.
Yeah, even if it is, you're just moving on.
just moving on.
Get him a new knee.
Listen, we can worry about that another day. Today I'm feeling good. Because, you know, as we were saying, you know, when was the last player to come to Boston that you got this excited about? And I said Kyrie Irving. And I know that didn't end well. But legitimately, I think that's the last one that I was like, wow, this could be an amazing season. So we'll see. Ted thinks that A.J. Brown is worth two wins. Who knows? According to Vegas, they got better odds. They moved up from plus 1,700 to win the Super Bowl to plus 1,600. But on with us right now on 93.7 WEEI is ESPN. He is a man who knows everything. He's an insider. He's a senior NFL reporter for ESPN, Mr. Jeremy Fowler. What a good day to have him on. Jeremy, did this all go down kind of the way that you thought it was going to?
It went down close to exactly how I thought it would. And it's great to be with you.
But yeah, you too.
We knew that the Eagles wanted a first-round pick. Originally, they wanted a first-round pick and a lot more, but that was back around free agency. And then the market softened. You know, there were some teams that checked in on it, but there was never like a huge market. I think the Eagles are still pretty happy with what they got, which is the first-round pick in 2028. You know, and I was checking yesterday and this morning, other, you know, teams I talked to around the league thought that that's what it would be. And then I believe they get the fifth round pick. So not too bad, you know, but for the Patriots, they are all in right now. Like they're going for it. Similar to the Rams, right? They just did that Myles Garrett trade. I see New England in a similar boat. They went to the Super Bowl. They feel like they could be better this year. A.J. Brown solves a lot, even though he's going to be 29. And maybe he's a half step slower on paper, but he is a guy who rolls coverage. You know, that's why receivers get paid. If you can roll coverage, draw double teams, make contested catches, you make a huge difference. So, like, for that reason, it's a monumental trade for New England on a monumental day.
Jeremy, why didn't more teams want A.J. Brown?
Well, I think part of it was the asking price. Part of it was the fact that it kind of was clear in league circles that New England and Philadelphia were somewhat down the road. You know, I think at the end here, like New England probably got a little squirmy and figured, hey, like, you know, we're not overly eager to give up this first round pick. We'll do it if we have to, you know. Maybe they were hoping another team would get involved, or the Patriots really could have drug this out if they wanted to and use their leverage a little more. But the fact that they had been talking about this for a while, other teams kind of knew that New England was in play, and if they got involved, they'd either be sort of used a little bit potentially, or it would just be too costly to try to go over the top on New England, which was pretty motivated to get it done because of the Mike Vrabel connection. So, you know, I saw the Chiefs out there. I was told throughout that that was a non-starter for them. You know, the Rams inquired. I think the Rams' interest back in March was real, but it was pretty quick. You know, they would have had to do something with Davante Adams. I mean, I guess there's a world where A.J. Brown, Puka, and Devontae could have coexisted together, but they opted not to do that. And then, like, when I checked on it last week, they just weren't really involved. And now we know they were trying to do the Myles Garrett trade. So there just wasn't a natural team that was thin enough at receiver to be desperate and willing enough to jump out. And, you know, Brown had some issues last year. Wasn't coming off his best season. You saw some of the antics on the sideline, like all that wasn't ideal, but Mike Vrabel's the perfect complement to that with his past relationship with AJ. He can reach him.
Jeremy, what do you think, if anything, happened today with the negotiations with New England and Philly? Was it pretty much all, was the framework done for months? Was there any haggling today, or how did it go?
Well, you know, my understanding is that it was kind of a cross the T, dot the I situation. You know, I do think they were going over some of the deal in the final hours. Yes. I didn't sense it was done over the weekend as I was reporting for SportsCenter, but I do think that that first round pick concept, the 2028 one, was sort of the catalyst for all this. You can work around that, you know, but Philly was pretty dead set on getting that. I think originally they wanted a first and a second round pick for AJ. That was sort of the whisper that was going around free agency, and they were probably never getting that, but at least if they had the one bird in hand that New England felt somewhat comfortable giving, you could do the rest. So I'm not sure if the fifth round pick was decided today or not, but you know, I think they at least were able to work on that in the final days and hours to just solidify it. And then a lot of it's like just waiting till 4 p.m. because of the situation with the June 1st and being able to spread the salary cap over 2 years instead of one.
Jeremy, is AJ expecting a deal restructure of any kind?
I have not heard that yet. So he's due, I want to say, what, $30 million around there over the next few years?
I think it's 32 year, on average, yeah. I think I'd read somewhere 32.
Yeah, I want to say last I checked it was somewhere around 30 in cash this year, which, you know, that's pretty good. I mean, I haven't heard anything about a restructuring or a reworking right now. And, you know, the Eagles did this deal very prematurely when they originally re-upped AJ on his third contract, his third career deal. They did that quite early in his second deal. So he's got years out that the Patriots could play with if they want to try to restructure this thing. So we'll see. But, you know, he definitely ain't taking a discount, that's for sure. So it's a matter of, like, do they want to, you know, kind of redo this, maybe take a year off? But I don't know why they would want to do that. So I have not heard any momentum on a restructured or reworked contract.
Jeremy, how surprised are you that the Pats would give up a first? I mean, we've seen the Rams do this a lot, but it's pretty unheard of here, at least, you know, in the old era. Now it's a new dynamic with Elliott Wolf and company. How surprised are you or are other teams that they're willing to go this far?
Yeah, I'm not too surprised because of the relationship. It most situations in the NFL, you go back to relationships. Players like to sign players they've had that they trust, that they've had success with. And so the A.J. Brown-Mike Vrabel marriage was a nice, you know, boiling point or catalyst for all this to get done. And just talking to people over the last week or so, I just really sense New England feels like they can jump out here and be really good again. You know, they feel like they got the team to do it. The only position they feel like they're thin at right now is edge rusher. And that's not off my radar either, to do another deal or to add an edge rusher at some point. We'll see. I don't know. It might be a little rich for them, since they already gave up draft capital for A.J. Brown, but I could see it. So they just feel like they're there. You know, they watched the Super Bowl where there weren't a whole lot of guys getting open. You know, Stephon Diggs is now out, and even though he was productive last year, more of a possession guy. You know, A.J. Brown, for his warts, is just – he's on the short list of guys that can go downfield, win 50-50 matchups. He's great at contested catches. He's probably the very best at that. And we know Drake May throws a great deep ball. So I think you're going to see a lot of that. And you're going to see safeties helping on him. And that just changes the math for your offense, at least for a year or two until he starts to decline. But right now you still have that in place. And look, he's going to be motivated coming out of last year, right? He wanted a new offense and a new change, and he got it.
No question. No question. We're talking to ESPN senior NFL reporter Jeremy Fowler. Jeremy, you just mentioned edge rusher and the Patriots potentially looking around. Any names that you've heard being mentioned as far as the Patriots and an edge rusher?
Well, you know, there's Josh Sweat is out there a little bit. You know, Kayvon Thibodeau, I think, would be a fit. You know, the Giants aren't really trying to trade him right now, but they, at least before the draft, they looked into it. It would probably require like a second round pick, maybe a quality third round pick to get him, to make the Giants at least even reconsider it. Because right now I think they're rolling with it. But those are names that come to mind. I'm just saying it wouldn't shock me if the team tried to address that position now as a final piece before week one.
Well, this is going to be an unprecedented offseason for the Patriots as far as money. Because, I mean, we're already looking at this A.J. Brown move that just happened. On top of that, you've got Christian Gonzalez, who is holding out right now, yeah. And there's a question as to whether or not the Patriots are going to set the market with him. I mean, the edge rusher would just make things even more expensive. So what are you hearing about Christian Gonzalez and the amount of money that you believe that he's asking for and what you believe is going to happen eventually?
Well, this one's fascinating because it's not just about Christian Gonzalez. It's about what's going on around him. So Seattle wants to re-sign Devin Witherspoon, who's another star cornerback, right? He was a key piece to their Super Bowl run. So Devin Witherspoon and Christian Gonzalez have the same agents. And so they're in a position to reset the market with both players. Whoever gets done first, I suspect, will be above Trent McDuffie, who's now number one, I believe, at what, around a little over $30 million a year. Christian Gonzalez is regarded, at least in league circles and coaches I talk to, as a little higher than some of those guys even, like as far as his ability to play man coverage on an island is really, really rare. So my point is does Weatherspoon get done first and then Gonzalez comes over the top? How do they do that? So, like, it's worth keeping an eye on Seattle. Can Seattle get that done? And then Gonzalez might have a clearer path to get done. But right now it looks like the strategy is to wait on both, marinate this thing a little bit, and see who comes out with a big deal.
Wow. I mean, we're not used to this as Patriots fans, seeing them dole out this kind of money. It is very, very strange. Real quick before we let you go, just one last question, because, you know, once A.J. Brown was here, all of a sudden we started getting texts and calls. It's an embarrassment of riches. People are saying, well, can you get Stephon Diggs back as well? Is there any chance that the Patriots would think about potentially bringing Stephon Diggs back in as well if he's having a hard time finding a team?
Well, I'm not sure on that. I haven't heard anything firm and fast on that, but I do know they were happy with the relationship last year. They felt like he had a good year for them. There were no major hiccups. You know, I know he's got the court cases. It seems like that will all get worked out, or has been. So for those reasons, I wouldn't take it off the table. I just haven't heard anything hard and fast on that. So, you know, I think Kyle Williams, they want to get more involved too. They really like him. He just didn't have a lot of opportunities. That's a guy I think would be ascending in that offense.
Awesome. Well, Jeremy Fowler, hey, we really appreciate you coming on with us, especially on essentially last minute on a day like today.
Yeah, thank you.
We really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Jeremy, for coming on.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
All right, thanks, man. That is Jeremy Fowler, senior NFL
on the pass rusher. Very interesting.
Yeah. So who do you say?
Sweat.
And Kayvon Thibodeau as well?
That was Wiggs' guy from last year. He definitely wanted that.
Well, I think he – I mean, geez. I haven't heard anything about the Giants wanting to move on. I that seems odd to me, but – hey, if they did that,
give up a second. I mean, hey, if you're all in, I guess.
Listen, you know? if because Ted was saying that was the only position that he believed right now they had not addressed, and if they end up getting it like Thibodeau here, oh my God,
I don't think it would be a second for Thibodeau. Maybe like a fourth or fifth.
I don't know, but that's actually the first I've heard of any of that. So thank you, Jeremy. That's a nice little scoop.
It's an excellent job, you got to have one. Ben Volen, our buddy from the Globe. Facts, Pats gave up a first-round pick and more for an expensive 29-year-old receiver with a bulky knee with no other teams in on the bidding.
By the way, did you see the picture that Stiz just sent us?
No.
Somebody has photoshopped Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel hugging A.J. Brown at that adults-only resort.
Oh, come on.
It's pretty good. That's a meme I actually laughed at. All right, 617-779-7937. We are not going anywhere. We'll be back in 2 minutes taking your calls on A.J. Brown. Yes, it is true. A.J. Brown, officially a member of your New England Patriots. And yes, I am getting all the memes that you're sending. And they're pretty fantastic. Him and Vrabel and all sorts of embraces. Him and Vrabel at the bar.
We would have had this news weeks ago if she were still around.
Him and Vrabel getting a boat together in Tennessee.
Oh.
I'm sorry, but I do find those funny.
It's
all right,
a day to celebrate, not to go down into the gutter.
No, it is a celebration. It's an absolute. He's a big fan of Mike Vrabel. That's all that people are saying. He's a big fan of Mike Vrabel. That's why they're making those Photoshop pictures. I don't know where the original pictures came from. I have no idea. 617-779-7937. Kurt on line one. What's happening, Kurt? How you doing?
Oh, Kurt.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, earlier you guys said all of the Patriots players are excited. I think one player that's not excited is Booty right now.
Yeah.
And now, knowing that the Giants are looking to possibly trade Thibodeau, can you use him as a piece and then maybe a draft pick to try to get Thibodeau to come over?
So, yeah. Thank you, Kurt. We just had Jeremy Fowler on. If you didn't hear it, I think out of all the things we were talking to him about A.J. Brown, but his thing that I think made my ears perk up the most was Patriots might not be done adding.
Right. They're all in, and they might not be done.
Yeah. And he said the magic words, edge rusher. I mean, that's the one thing that you want. And Ted's the one thing Ted has continued to say.
We might get Ted up to like 15 wins tomorrow.
I mean, you never know. But I mean, but that is the one position that Ted has kept saying that, man, they're not impressive. We got to make some sort of move. And according to Jeremy Fowler, the two names he threw out there that the Patriots could be interested in are Josh Sweat in Arizona and Kayvon Thibodeau with the Giants. I had not heard anything about Kayvon Thibodeau being available or even on the market or anything. The Josh Sweat one is original, or not original, is interesting because I don't think he's happy there, but then again, right. Is anybody happy in Arizona? I don't think I'd want to be there either. Apparently, they make you pay for your own lunch when you're there, according to the players survey that they had. That excited me. The fact that they believe that this Patriots team is not done. Hell yeah.
And Sweat, former Eagle, former teammate with Milt, former teammate and champion with now your new guy, A.J. Brown. You just recreate a little bit of that Eagles chemistry. You just keep piling them on.
You bet. I'll take it. Let's go to Cam on line two. Cam, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Great show as always. Pumped up for A.J. Yep. The one thing I was going to talk about was Thibodeau, but you also brought up Sweat. If you look at it, both of those teams, they do kind of need another receiver on their roster. I mean, Marvin Harrison hasn't been great, and Malik Nabers is dealing with an injury. I don't know if you guys saw some social media videos, but he looked like he was not 100%. So I think, especially with A.J. Brown here now, Booty is going to be a lot more valuable to teams like that if you're trying to get an edge. But both of them are going to be expensive because I think Thibodeau needs a contract. Because they have Burns and Carter there, too. So they're probably not going to pay him. So I'll hang up and let you guys talk.
Well, thanks, Cam.
And the Giants did sign Juju Smith-Schuster and OBJ today. So I'm not saying they don't need a receiver
anymore. When is the last time OBJ, did anything significant? You know? Yeah. And he's a great name, and you hear it out there, but then you just think, yeah, I don't really know what I mean by
And Dangerous going to the CBS television set.
Dangerous. Mr. Unlimited. Mr. Unlimited. Oh, really? So he's not playing?
He's going to be on the set with Cower and that group.
He is not going to be good. There's so many players I look at and I'm like, this guy's going to be excellent.
Ooh, how about this?
What's that?
Mike Reese. A.J. Brown not wearing number 11 this year. He will wear number 1. So scratch the number 11 jersey.
Is that out of respect for Julian Edelman?
I guess it is.
Who knows?
WR1.
That Giants team, by the way, I don't know what to make of that team this year. I don't know...
I thought you liked Jackson Dart. Now you're out on him.
No. I didn't say I didn't like Jackson Dart. I think my son likes Jackson Dart.
Was it the political thing?
No. It has nothing to do with the political thing. First of all, I do think he's kind of douchey. You look at him and he just kind of looks. He looks like
the classic guy from his generation with the hair in the front. He just
kind of hits me as a douche. He might not be. He might be perfectly fine. But it's just the way the team is put together with all these different weird parts. And you just mentioned Juju Smith-Schuster and OBJ.
Yeah.
And then you got Harbaugh in there. It's going to be an interesting team to watch. But I just think it just looks like it's a recipe for disaster.
And a tough division if Jaden Daniels comes back.
And it's a tough division.
Yep, Eagles, Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, either way. I just that's going to be a fun one to watch. And then you're right. But, I mean, you can't ignore the fact that someone was one of his linemen, right? Just started bitching at him about somebody spoke in front of, spoke in front of the president, and they started yelling at each other. And
they made up.
I don't even care what your politics are. You don't want to get yelled at by your own teammate about something, especially publicly. That doesn't seem like it's the best relationship if you do that.
Fair question from a text line 781. Now that A.J. Brown is here, who benefits the most?
Drake. I mean, come on. It's absolutely Drake May. Because you want to see somebody in their third year. The third year, if you take a look at almost all the data, for the best quarterbacks, is the year that they truly ascend. It's the year that the game slows down. And to have a weapon like A.J. Brown is just so great, not just because you've got somebody who obviously can take who is a gunner, but he can take the top off the defense, and it gives you so many more options. Ted described it perfectly, what it's like to be a linebacker and have to play against a team that has a guy like A.J. Brown. It makes things way more difficult.
Field Yates had this stat. A.J. Brown, 18 touchdowns in receptions of 20-plus air yards during his 4 years with the Eagles, most in the NFL. So Drake loves the deep ball. This guy loves to run deep. That is going to be just fireworks at Gillette, right? Just worth the price of admission is just watching one of those 50-yard bombs from Drake to A.J. down the sideline.
And what's so great is that's what Drake does best. Didn't he have more than any other quarterback? Yep. His average yards per attempt was blew everyone away.
And great against man coverage, which is AJ's specialty. So that is a perfect,
it's just
match.
It's just a perfect fit.
Mm-hmm.
It is nice. And it's tough to not get kind of swept up in it.
But I do think Pop Douglas is going to have a big year. And Vrabel mentioned him, went out of his way to mention he's going to be important to us. That's their Wes Welker in zone, their zone buster. Yeah. Dobbs, too, who they added. But I think Pop's going to have a big year, too.
Could be. By the way, I saw one of the commenters. Scadaboo's got a few loose screws as well. Yeah, that Giants team is going to be strange.
This team's going to be strange. A.J. Brown reading books? Is he going to bring the books to the library?
What are you talking about? I don't know
on
about
the sideline. He was reading the book on the sideline and that whole thing.
I forgot about that. I don't even remember that.
What was he reading?
Now, is he like LeBron James, who's only reading the first page of every book he reads?
No,
That's LeBron. There is actually a montage that somebody put online of every time you see him, like during the finals, reading a book. It's always the first page of the book.
Yeah, but the A.J. Brown book reading thing, at one point, the book was upside down, correct?
It may have been, but he brings it to every game. It's called Inner Excellence, Train Your Mind for Extraordinary Performance and for the Best Possible Life by Jim Murphy. He was reading it. They caught him on the sideline, and they went like bestseller overnight on Amazon. So you got to buy that book now if you're a Pats fan.
Hell yeah.
Buy
Inner Excellence. Good performance if you can read it upside down.
That's right. My man's an intellectual. There's no question. All right. We'll continue to take your calls, 617-779-7937. It's going to be, I mean, if they get an edge rusher too, like if they bring in Josh Sweat or Kayvon Thibodeau.
Love it.
Dude, like literally what could they have done this offseason?
Right.
Honestly. Like, I mean, you've
signed Gonzalez. Well, that's the only
assuming they're going to sign Gonzalez. They are. They're going to jack around. They're going to like, but you're going to end up setting the market. You're going to end up paying him a ridiculous amount of money. You want to know why? Because he's worth it. And because you've already shown that you're going all in. You can't stop now. Don't stop now. This is a team that's good enough to invest in. You should feel good about investing in this team. The Crafts have done an excellent job this offseason.
Great job. A+.
If they get Thibodeau or Sweat, it is an A+.
Yep.
I mean, right now it's, you know, an A.
Yeah, I mean.
But then you've taken care of everything. You're kind of thin at tight end right now. I mean, you did get an injury, so you're a little tight there.
I got to be honest. I don't know how good the pass rusher is that they got, Draymond Jones. Ted is not, like, does not love him, but they gave him $40 million over 3 years, $15 million this year.
Wow.
I mean, he was traded. The Ravens picked him up at the trade deadline. He had a couple sacks toward the end of the year. He had 7 combined last year, 24 quarterback hits. You're paying this guy to be an elite edge rusher.
Yep.
So they already theoretically went out and addressed that need.
I just want the season to start right now, because I just keep thinking, oh yeah, we have Red Sox baseball. Please get good. Do something. I wanted to start right
shoot
now. All right, 617-779-7937. You've been leaving take grenades all day. That's how do you do that? You go to the Odyssey app, press a little microphone button, leave us a message, and it shoots out to us. We'll unload those. Also, there are some interesting things being said about A.J. Brown right now from the other side. It seems like Philadelphia fans are pissed. Let's bathe in their tears, shall we? We will do that next.
What just happened?
It is 93.7 WEEI, Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson. It is official. The Patriots aren't effing around. They went out and they got A.J. Brown. You need a first-round pick in 2028. Boom, you got it. We'll even throw in a fifth-rounder in 2027. And now, according to Jeremy Fowler, who we just had on, who is ESPN senior NFL reporter, he said that the Patriots may not be done. They may be going after the one position that they've been needing to go after. I mean, they've taken care of all the other ones, it seems like. But edge rusher, oh boy. They've been.
Now. Interesting addition to that, good suggestion by 508 on the text line. What about double X Max Crosby? You're going to go for guys with possible injury concerns and go all in.
What's his status now? Like, do we know what the hell's going on? I know. By the way, I felt so bad for him. I really did.
Well, he wants out of there now. They got to be like desperate. I think it was 2 first-round picks for him, which I wouldn't give up.
No.
Now.
Well, now you don't have to.
Right.
Get him on the cheap, baby.
A little six-round pick, baby.
It's worth exploring.
Caleb Durbin has turned it around. We'll throw him in for your baseball team when you get that.
Why the hell not? Well, they got so far Josh Sweat is a name that Jeremy Fowler had mentioned from Arizona. That would be a great move. And I don't know how much they would ask for any of these. It was Josh Sweat and Kayvon Thibodeau with the Giants.
Well, Fowler said maybe a second for Sweat. Or a quality third.
Boom.
I don't think.
Hell yeah, you would do a third.
Yeah.
For Josh Sweat? Yep.
I think so. Then you get Draymond Jones and Landry to like rotate on the other side. Or you just got 3 good pass rushers. That's big time.
You know, before we get to our take grenades, I do want to play this clip from Pat McAfee because he makes a really good point. I want you to, for a second, just to imagine. Ted brought up something earlier in the show. It was a moment where Mac Jones had been having such a difficult time with Matt Patricia that he ended up going outside the organization and getting actual help from Alabama.
Yeah, from Nick Saban.
And Nick Saban, like, tattled on him. And Bill Belichick benched him, and that was the Bailey Zappe game with the Chicago Bears. I want you to think of how awful that season was and just how bad it was to watch Patriots football and what a kick in the nuts every week seemed to be. And then I want you to think of that Raiders game when they played out in Las Vegas, and at the very the last Jacob minute, Myers. Mac Jones got face planted. Remember, he just pushed his face into the ground. I want you to remember how that felt. And then remember, that wasn't that long ago.
No.
And Pat McAfee makes that point. Let's take a listen.
It feels like we're about to live in a time that we once lived in yet again. And we're kind of alluding to it towards the tail end of the season, into the playoffs there. Like, hey, we got to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
This right here is something that's about to be in our life again.
Yep.
It feels like they're planning on that being just forever. And you have to wonder if you're part of an organization that hasn't been able to build it ever.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell is this team able to do it? Just like that, restart. And now they're going all in, making great trades, bringing in incredible players. And obviously everybody buys in that locker room because Vrabes is beloved in there.
No doubt.
One of the boys, you know, one of the guys
he
in
is.
There.
Yeah.
Okay, he's beloved in that locker room. I mean, him and Stephon Diggs had an incredible relationship. Him and A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown, you know, him and Philly has just been, all I remember is him reading books on the side. 1,200 and some yards or whatever. I understand that that is what he is. And they certainly won a Super Bowl and everything. All I remember is him just being pissed about not getting the ball and us all going, hey, this guy deserves to get the ball at least a little bit there. So him going to New England, I think he'll buy in, he'll be happier, they'll do great, and we got to live in a time where the Patriots are all the way back, and this is what it is. Mass holes, you know, are coming all the way back into our lives, and we just have to accept that. And it's not just for now. It seems like this is going to be a forever thing with what they got going on, because Elliott Wolf's young.
All right.
All right.
Let's rank the top three best moves that the Patriots have made since that moment where Mac Jones got his face smashed into the ground.
Drafted Drake May.
Yeah, I would say moved on from Bill Belichick is number one.
Yeah, probably 2 years too late.
I would say moved on from Bill Belichick is number one.
But they hired Mayo, which was not great.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You had to, in order to get Mike Vrabel, you had to get rid of Bill Belichick. So Bill Belichick is number one.
And then firing Mayo. They got Mayo, but they fired him too, Ken.
Well, that's what I was going to piss off Ted, because he gets so mad. But could you imagine Mayo today? He's back in the business world working for a financial company, and the Patriots are trading first-round picks for A.J. Brown.
I know.
What did you ever give me?
Mayo's such
they totally
he's
screwed
still
him.
Being paid.
They set him up
he's
to fail.
Fine. He
is so pissed today. Come on. Are you kidding me?
He's a good dude, but listen, he wasn't made for that job. He wasn't. When you saw him on the sidelines.
That's because they gave him nothing to spend.
It doesn't matter.
They gave him all Bill's coaches
listen,
and nothing to trade with.
I was a fan of Gerard Mayo being the head coach when they announced it. I was like, oh, yeah, this is a guy. The players love him. I heard nothing but great things about Gerard Mayo. And even I, like halfway through the season, saw his demeanor on the sidelines. Like, this guy is not, he's not the leader I thought
he was. His free agents were.
Yeah.
Jalen Hawkins, Austin Hooper,
yeah,
Antonio
sucked.
Gibson, and Chukwuma Okorafor.
His team sucked, but it wasn't. But he could have done more.
Like he could not have done more with that team. Roster sucked.
He did not seem like the type of leader that it wasn't. He didn't seem like a leader of men the way that you wanted it to be.
Yeah, I'm not saying they made the wrong move, but I feel bad for him.
Sure.
He just got it was the.
Now he's getting paid $1 zillion to not even coach.
He is?
Yeah, he got like what?
Work
like,
for a bank or something?
Got two or three. Didn't he get two or three more? It was like a 3-year contract,
yeah,
right?
He's definitely still getting paid.
Yeah, and now he's working for some financial company, which he was working for before. He's a smart dude. All right, so number one, getting rid of Bill Belichick. That's move number one that took them. I'm talking from that crap. I almost
the
swore.
Resurgence.
That crap moment to where we are now. Getting rid of Belichick. Number two, drafting Drake May. Number three, hiring Mike Vrabel. And then there's just a bunch of series of very good moves after that. Like, obviously drafting Christian Gonzalez.
Well, Milton Williams was a huge signing. I think Milt, he's the key to their front. I mean, they paid him $100 million to come over from Philly. That was the start of, like, free agents wanting to play here, and he paid off, so that's big.
Yep.
You know, drafting Gonzalez is pretty big.
I said that. That's number four. That to me is number four. And who knows if A.J. Brown will end up being number five. But right now, it's like if you want to look at what the most important move was to get from there to here, it's getting rid of Belichick. And I was a huge Belichick fan, and I just thought the minute he brought in Matt Patricia as the offensive coordinator, that was a fireable offense.
Poor judge.
When he just brought in his friends to do stuff that they normally didn't do, and it jeopardized everyone around them and their careers. It was so unfair to those players. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, you can't keep this guy around.
But to McAfee's point, you had three bad years, okay? You had 2 4-win seasons. That's it, three bad years, and you made the playoffs again. if you're a Bills fan, if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, if you're an Atlanta Falcons fan, if you are a Minnesota Vikings fan, the years and years of non-title misery, and here are the Pats.
The Massholes
are
back
in the Super Bowl, and they're back, and they're bringing in A.J. Brown and adding to that mix.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Do we have enough time to do this? I think we
might. They jell of ourselves.
Thank you, Wiggy.
Thank you, Wiggy. We appreciate that. All right, let's launch some Take Grenades, shall we? Let's do it.
Incoming!
And your Take Grenades, you can leave us right there on the Odyssey app. You press that microphone, launch yourself a hot one, and Take Grenades brought to you by Milligan and Higgins, OUI and criminal defense attorneys. Go to milliganandhiggins.com for a free consultation. Let's hear the first grenade, shall we?
Oh, boys, A.J. Brown's a Patriot. I don't think I'm going to be watching any game without my top pop this year. I might paint my face at my mother-in-law's house for every game. Silver, red, I don't care. Teddy, I know you're lubing up those juicy pectorals of yours in excitement as well. Boys, A.J. Brown, this is going to be an exciting team. Let's go.
Hell yeah.
That guy loves the Teddy pop top and the glistening gun.
You gotta pop the top. Lube yourself up there, Teddy J. All right, let's hear the next grenade, shall we?
Hi, this is Ed from Putnam, Connecticut. Long-time listener.
Thank you.
I'm so glad we got Brown on our squad. It's going to make a big difference for our offense. Thank you very much. And today is my birthday, so it was a great birthday present I just received. Right. Thank you so much.
They did it just for you. They did it just for you, sir.
Big party in Putnam.
Sure, why not? Why not? All right, let's do one last one before we have to break. Let's take a listen.
Oh, come on, you guys. Pedro Martinez and Manny Ramirez were the two best signings ever in Boston sports history. Veritek and Lowe for Heathcliff Slocum? Jesus Christ, you can't do any better than that.
I wasn't here for Pedro.
Yeah, we're talking last 20 years.
Think about how long that is.
I was in college 25 years ago when they got Manny. It's like it's unbelievable how time flies. But recent trades, Chris Sale is a big one. Like, you're right about Kyrie Irving. That's what we've had the last 10 years. This is huge.
Kyrie Irving with me. I have a T-shirt still that is a mock-up of NBA Jam. And you know how in NBA Jam it would have the two players that were playing?
He's heating up.
I had a mock-up, a T-shirt, and on one side it was Kyrie Irving, and the other side was Gordon Hayward.
Gordonary Hayward.
Right? It might be probably the most cursed T-shirt somebody could own.
He's on fire!
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why Jalen was pissed, because he got benched for Gordon Hayward.
I guess so.
He's still pissed about it.
By the way, you know that you can get, like, a miniature version. It's not even that miniature. Like, a version of NBA Jam, that Arcade 1-Up company.
It's even that much money, either.
No, it's not. So, like,
it's, like, reasonable.
Arcade 1-Up is a great company. What they do is, and I think Best Buy even sells them, but you can get them online as well. But they are, I think they're, like, 75, three-quarters the size of a regular one, and it has all the cabinet art and everything. Oh, it's just like it, and it's the same game.
Do you have any games in your your?
I do. Matter of fact, I bought a bunch of Arcade 1-Up ones.
Really?
I've got Street Fighter.
Mortal Kombat 2.
Dude, I wanted Mortal Kombat 2, but when I was buying them, it was too violent for my kids. I got Street Fighter. I have the Ninja Turtles one.
Wow.
Classic.
I forget what other one I've
pinball.
Got.
You got any pinball?
No. Oh, I've got the
Simpsons had a good arcade game.
Yeah, and they've got it on Arcade 1-Up too. I've got the X-Men versus something else, like Marvel one.
Mm.
But Street Fighter's the king.
Street Fighter's
that's
awesome.
The good one.
That's great.
Even though I suck at it. I can Chun-Li and that's it. Just Chun-Li in the leg. Chun-Li in the leg, and I can
do the Brazilian guy with the hands. Oh, that's E Honda.
No, E Honda's the hands, but then there's Baraka, where you just do the electric thing.
I was always
I can't Hyrukin. I can't do it. I can't roll the string. Now, if we were doing Mortal Kombat 2, I'd kick your ass every day with Kung Lao.
Sounds like a challenge.
I was unbeatable with Kung Lao.
Challenge accepted.
The only other person that I was even half as good at as Kung Lao was Scorpion. Scorpion was almost unfair if you could do the harpoon and you could sweep the leg.
Back.
Now, you're a couple years older than me. You had to be Glass Joe, original Punch-Out arcade guy.
Not arcade guy. Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Oh, just Tyson.
Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, as you said, 007-373-5963, straight to Tyson. As much as I played that game, I never beat Tyson. I could never beat him.
He's easy once you figure it out.
Too fast.
Dodge him for
I was a slow kid. Very slow. To give me sugar, prop me up, give me my drool cup. All right, 617-779-7937. We will finish up by sweeping the leg and taking your calls. A.J. Brown is a Patriot. Today, my friend, as Ice Cube said, is a good day.
Just waking up in the morning, gotta thank God.
Hang on.
I don't know what today's. Oh, that's messed up. Seems kind of odd. No smog. Mama cooked the breakfast with no hog. I got my grub on, but didn't pig out. One of the rest.
I want it.
Yeah, it gets a little hairy. Love
not
this song.
Bad.
Playing all yo right. MTV raps.
We have a new bit. Yo Ken Laird raps. Which because listen, I was
an MTV banger.
I'm straight from the shores of England, and that was the whitest thing I've ever heard in my headset ever.
Ice Cube.
Ever. But that was very. It was very. The skills were off the chart, though. It was fantastic. It is Rich, MC Ken, and Ted Johnson here on WEEI. And by the way, I just finished watching. If you want to see a very loud, manly thrusts, you can just go to our Instagram page at WEEI Sports or at Rich Ken Ted. I didn't realize they were going to put that up there, but there was some thrustage.
Yeah, I appreciate the thrust.
We got a little excited when the A.J. Brown news ended up coming out. By the way, this is the Ketchus Law Injury Attorneys studio. No fee unless you win. And the drive home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
It was a good day. The news broke right in the middle of our content. So that's always a win.
It's great.
We had Jeremy Fowler on from ESPN right after it broke. Perfect timing. Reaction. They're not done. Might be going after a pass rusher.
Yeah.
Things are happening. June is here. Weather's going to be awesome. For the rest of the week.
Is it?
Tim Haley was pretty good, too.
Tim Haley was great.
Yeah. Haley, if you haven't read the Tim Haley article about Craig Breslow, it's really... you know what it is? It's something we all suspected was going on behind the scenes, where it's a organization that's ruled completely by numbers and without gut and without, like, actual humans and making human decisions. It just seems to me as if you can run a team poorly if you just use AI. And that's kind of the way that it feels like it's going right now.
Oh, and when the quote from the article is, or you know, the writing is, Theo Epstein has been disappointed by the Sox's intense analytical direction under Breslow, multiple sources said.
Yep.
That's in the Globe.
Yep.
So that's got to get your attention in a paper owned by John Henry.
And there was a couple of examples that they used that I thought were just fantastic. Let me just read you this one. It's like two lines. For example, the models, he's talking about like all of these analytic and statistics, MIT Sloan conference stuff. They said, for example, the models generally don't recommend signing hitters in their 30s who play one or zero positions to large contracts. After Breslow opened the offseason by saying the Red Sox needed to add power to the lineup, a de facto replacement for the trade of Rafael Devers, they had a video meeting with Kyle Schwarber, did not converse further, and did not make an offer. And we've seen what Kyle Schwarber has done. It's like, sure,
60.
You know, it's because your algorithm said you're over the age of 30, you're not what we want, but your eyes tell you different. And that's one thing, and I do believe Theo Epstein was excellent at using stats as a tool, but he would also use his brain and he would speak to people and he would ask people, what do you think of this person? He'd watch games, get a feel for how clutch they were. It just seems like a lazy way to run a team, to rely completely on analytics, and you don't have to put in the work. And that's what being a good running a team means. You have to put in the work, and they got rid of a lot of their scouts who were doing a lot of the work, which is, I think, inexcusable.
Well, and if go back and listen to the Tim Haley interview, 3 o'clock, if you missed it today or on our podcast page. But he said basically Theo feels bad about what baseball has become, feels guilty that he started it. And to me, as a Red Sox fan, what that means is you've got a minority owner who thinks they've gone too far.
Mm-hmm.
He's now back and involved again, and they're putting the fire under Breslow to recorrect. Like, this is year three. We're going too far analytics. Let's get back to some human elements. So good.
I mean, he is part of the reason. You know, and that stupid Moneyball book is part of the reason. I've always thought Moneyball was stupid because they didn't win.
Good movie, though.
Was it, though? I don't remember. I don't remember. All I remember is that he refused to watch the games, and he worked out. And I was like, if I was somebody and they made a movie about me and I wasn't very good looking and they chose Brad Pitt, it would be the greatest day of my life.
Right.
And I think that was kind of the situation. Yeah. Oh, and I did like the representation of John Henry. I thought their John Henry was spot on.
Excellent, yeah.
Whoever did that was great. What are ties? Where do I buy them? How much is a tie?
Well, they're hot right now.
I just wake up and my 1980s robot puts the tie on me. Happy birthday, John Henry. Every day is my birthday when you have your own robot from the 80s.
That's true. He's analytical.
Or I'm toast.
He's analytical at his heart. You know, so he's gonna resist.
You say his heart is like truly like a computer.
Soybean. It's shares, things like that.
Oh yes, he made his money from the old soybeans. Hey, are you as horny as I am right now, Christian Arcan? We've got AJ Brown is now on the team.
Absolutely, and I also was just had the hydraulics in my car, and I was crip walking the MC Ken over here just on my way in. That was something else too.
Do me a favor, put that back on. I think there's no better way to end the day than to truly hear the whitest gentleman who's ever walked this earth try to do something off
I've known him a while. I didn't know he had that in
him. No barking from the dog, no smog, and mama got the breakfast with no hog.
It's pretty good.
He's got the lyrics, though.
It's pretty good. Is that the lyrics? I don't
those
know.
Are the lyrics.
I don't know. I just know Mr. Rowdy got a triple-double.
What did the Goodyear blimp say, Ken?
Yo MTV Raps?
No, Goodyear blimp.
Yeah, he's watching that. Yeah.
Saw the lights of the Goodyear blimp, and it said,
"Ice Cube's a pimp."
That's right.
Ice Cube's a pimp.
That's what it said.
Come on, hit me.
Get me on the court, and I'm troubled. Last week, like the round and got a triple double. I can't say the next line.
Sure, you should. The phone's alive.
Ratings, baby.
Didn't get no static from the coward.
Controversy.
All right, that's all.
All right, yes, very well done. That was good. I can't tell. Listen, I couldn't rap if I wanted to either.
To answer your question, Rich, I'm very horny about the A.J. Brown thing. However, I do think they did not get a like great deal here or anything like that. They paid the full weight, so I have some thoughts about that and how I think this was a tactic on the part of Mike Vrabel primarily, but also, you know, Elliott Wolf and everybody else, to get the Crafts to act by the threat of shame if they had not.
Sure.
Because think about it. I mean, like, this thing had been telegraphed since February.
Yep.
And they really put all their eggs in that basket. If they didn't get them, if they didn't meet the asking price, which it sounds like they did, and I would imagine there were other teams in there in the bidding. We'll find out more about that, I guess.
I actually like kind of where you're going with this. Yeah. So your theory is somewhat that the reason that, unlike any deal that I've ever heard of before, for 3 months or so we've known about this, is to try to distract people from the Rossini story?
That it actually wasn't it, but that may have something to do with
it's
it.
Great idea.
I think it's just more about, you know, this is not something that this team usually does. You know, this organization doesn't believe in trading first-round picks for star wide receivers in their late 20s with knee problems. So what better way to do it than to say in February, yeah, we basically have the deal done, and then get all the way to the end. All right, now we got to pony up. And they did. And I think that's tremendous. So I'm very happy.
I don't know, Christian, if you'll play any of this. Listen, it is greatness because it was on our show. But we had Jeremy Fowler on,
yes,
and his whole thing was, I don't think the Patriots are done. And he mentioned edge rusher and gave us a couple of names. Mm. That got me horny. So, I mean, we're there's just pheromones all over the place in here. Once you hear Ken rap, I don't know how you can't all of a sudden get randy. Can you sing any of this, Ken?
No. What is this?
This is the song we end.
I know.
Every show we end the show with this. What is this?
It's not rap.
No, it's Norwegian metal.
This is Slow Mosa?
It's not good remembrance. Just see if you can try. Ready?
He said it.
Pull the mic away so you can hear. Ready? All right, here we go.
Hello, Todd. Hit the ball far. We got baseball tomorrow at the Fenway.
All right, Christian Arcan. He shall dominate thy airwaves. A.J. Brown is a Patriot. Ken has massive skills to pay the bills. Stiz Jackson, everybody, have an amazing Monday. Here comes Christian Arcan right in your face. We will see you again tomorrow. Goodbye.